Hey, this game is hard. Can we have it for children, please?
Welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. My name is Derek Cranevelt, and I'm your host, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass service, which was chosen for us completely at random. So whether it's a magical or a horrible experience, we'll force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. At the end of every episode, we also randomly draw the game for the next show too, so you always know what adventure is coming up next. And I'm always joined by a guest. This week, Courtney is joining me. Courtney, you may recognize her voice from the old Geekscape Games podcast, where she was a regular host. And I'm really happy to have her back because we have not talked about video games in a little while. Courtney, how are you today? It's been quite long.
I'm so excited. I miss recording. Yeah. I forgot about your podcast voice.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, it's like a phone voice that you have, you know, like you change when you pick up the phone, then when you're talking. And so it was just like, oh, there's Derek's podcast voice.
I sound way cooler on the podcast than I do in real life, I think.
You sound like you're trying to be polished.
Oh, well, which Geekscape Games was not, so here we are.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. It was good. I miss the show. I miss the chats.
I shine that turd so hard. Don't even.
This is also an interesting episode because it was the episode that did not want to happen. So, yes, I was about to record it and the first guest had to drop out at the 11th hour, unfortunately, which kind of put us a little bit behind. Courtney jumped in and then literally the day that we set up to record, my voice disappeared. So,
and we were both very sick.
Yeah. And so it was a rough time. That afternoon it kind of came back. I thought I was going to be okay. We sat down to record anyways. And then I essentially opened my mouth for the first time and nothing came out. So that put a delay and a damper on things as well. And if you remember the PAX West episodes, which just happened for me, but for you will have been a couple months ago now. I didn't sound very good on those and I had no choice but to record them anyway. So, but here we are. I'm feeling okay. Courtney's still a little bit under the weather, but thank you so much for taking the time anyways.
Yeah, of course.
So this week we are here to talk about a super interesting game called Hollow Knight. That was drawn last week when John and I were chatting about Alien Isolation, which I totally loved. He was really into it as well. I was also very disappointed because it did not scare him and he hates scary things and I just wanted him to be terrified, because I'm a terrible person, I guess. But
I mean, you keep trying to get me to play scary games with you. And they just make me straight up cry. So
I mean, I don't know that for sure because it hasn't happened yet. So
you have eyewitness accounts of people you know.
Yeah, but you know, it's like you,
No, you I need to see you cry, Courtney. That's all it is.
I mean, I'm sure I've seen you cry before. I'm sure I've seen you cry, just not for that reason.
Oh, yeah, not for scary games. For like sad stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Not fun stuff like scary games. So next time you're in town, let's play Resident Evil 7 on the PlayStation VR.
Or not.
It'll be a great time.
No.
We'll talk. Let's negotiate. Before we jump into Hollow Knight, though, whenever a new guest comes on the show, I always like to ask them just a few questions just to see if, so that you can get a sense for their gaming taste so that you can see if yours may align. Courtney, what I would love to know from you, how long have you been playing games for, and what are some of the genres that you typically gravitate towards, and what are some of your favorite games?
So growing up, my mom was not a fan of gaming. If you've listened to the games podcast, you'll have heard the stories. She has come back and told me this isn't true, but it is. usually, like, if I played something, I had to have some kind of...
Putt-putt.
No, what is putt-putt? Is this one of those, this golden pond?
Didn't we talk about putt-putt? Didn't we talk about Putt-Putt so much? Putt-Putt is like this little purple car, and he teaches you stuff.
No.
I thought that was one of the few games that you were allowed. Okay.
Read a Rabbit, I played, and I played Where in the World, and Where in Time, and Where in the U.S. is Carmen Sandiego. But when I was a kid, I think like 10 or... It was before my brother born, so I was like 8 or 9 maybe.
Sure.
My dad had a game called Zork Grand Inquisitor, and then another one that was with it. And the other one scared the shit out of me, poop out of me. Couldn't do it. But Zork Grand Inquisitor became one of my favorite games to make my dad play.
Okay.
And I would watch him play it, and then I got to play some of it too. It's just, it's a old point-and-click computer game, and I loved it. I still love it. I actually still have the original CD.
No way.
And the original, at my mom's house, yeah, we have the original CD and the game guide, because you had to have game guides, because there was no internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my first game that I played, and then I didn't really get into gaming until like 2006, 2007, and I fell in love with Fable.
Okay.
And then became a Fable freak. So Fable is one of my all-time favorite series, even the third one, even though it's not that great. I just replayed Fable 2 this summer because Jake, my boyfriend, got an Xbox One X.
And they pushed that backwards compatibility.
Yeah, an Xbox.
Yeah.
And I got really excited. And so I spent a lot of time when he was at work playing Spinnerbox on the couch with the cat.
Is that a game inside of Fable? I've not played.
Fable 2 Spinnerbox is a game you can play within a game. It's basically your gambling, which is why I'm not allowed to gamble in real life. So yeah,
only Fable.
Yeah, Fable series is one of my all-time favorites. I love Diablo 3 and Torchlight.
Ooh.
Skyrim is a big favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Still have not beat it, and I've been playing it since it came. I pre-ordered that game, and I still haven't beat it.
It's been almost 10 years. You should probably get on that.
No, it's just, you know, like I take my time, I delete my saves and start over again. Civilization 5.
Oh, cool.
Love that game. Overwatch. And then Crypt of the Necrodancer is probably my favorite game to play, mm-hmm. like on Switch.
Okay. So. And it'll be out by the time this releases, but are you looking forward to Overwatch on Switch?
Jake just and I were just talking about this.
Yeah.
I think it's exciting that it's on an option, but I haven't played Overwatch in a year and a half.
Okay.
So, it's been a long time. I haven't touched it in a long time. So, I'm not like I don't feel like it would be something that I would rebuy.
Okay.
Personally.
But you could play it on the go.
But I could play it on the go, but I'm usually at home.
Yeah.
Unless I'm traveling to Canada and back. So.
Yeah, those are long ass ferry rides with no internet. So I guess Overwatch doesn't really work that well. Fit the bill for that journey there.
I play a lot of Pokemon Let's Go Eevee on the ferry rides.
Okay,
I really enjoyed that too. And then
Sword
Crypt of the
and Shield
Necrodancer.
Coming out soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm in that again. Unlucky, like I didn't super get into Pokemon when I was a kid.
Yeah,
so
you can do it now.
So lame. I did. I'm just like I have. We'll talk about it later. I have problems with games. I get lost.
You get lost. I almost feel like it would be like I almost wish that I didn't get into it when I was younger because I feel like I have, you know, after Gold and Silver is kind of when I fell out of it. And so now when I see all these hundreds and hundreds of new characters, I feel like I'm less interested and I just want to see the ones that I'm used to. But if you never got into it in the first place, you kind of don't have that same predisposition, ideally. And so I wonder if that would be easier to kind of fall into.
It kind of is, although I also don't know things that people just know. So, like, I don't recognize something as, like, oh, hey, maybe don't run up to that with your crappy regular Pokeball.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's special and you're not going to
get it.
Because
you only get one chance at that guy and he's legendary.
Yeah, I lost a legendary. It was pretty upsetting.
That sucks.
So, as far as, like, genres that I'm drawn to, I typically play very RPG-heavy games.
Okay.
Dragon Age, Fable, Skyrim. But I also like kind of the dungeon crawler ones where you just like Diablo 3 is my, I'm having a bad day game.
Yeah.
And I'm drawn to anything that's aesthetically pleasing. So if it's pretty, I'll try and play it even if it's awful and I end up not liking the game that much.
That's fair. Do you know what I thought was really pretty?
What?
Hollow Knight.
It is gorgeous.
I thought Hollow Knight was really pretty.
I've been looking at it for a while. I just never got into it.
I would love to start talking about it with you.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what the game is all about first?
Yeah. So I'll read the prompt here. Beneath the fading town of Dirtmouth sleeps an ancient ruined kingdom. Many are drawn below the surface, searching for riches or glory or answers to old secrets. Hollow Knight is a classically styled 2D action adventure across a vast interconnected world. Explore twisting caverns, ancient cities, and deadly waste. Battle tainted creatures and befriend bizarre bugs and solve ancient mysteries at the kingdom's heart.
That's Hollow Knight.
I feel like it's selling it short.
I feel like it is selling it short because it feels like I feel like visually and presentation wise, like as soon as the opening cutscene started, I was like, what the hell is this? Yeah. This is so neat and different. And also so many times did I like Hollow Knight and Shovel Knight sound very, very similar. And like there was times and I realized it last week when it was shortly after it was drawn that it was not Shovel Knight.
Yep.
But several times I kept still being like, you know, like, where is this Shovel Knight guy? Like, it must be like an upgrade you get later. And then just feeling like the biggest idiot at that point. And also at PAX West, which again is going to be a long time ago by the time this releases. But every time we passed the Shovel Knight booth, Michaela was like, oh, that's the game you're playing right now for Xbox Game Passengers. And I'm like, no, it is not. And then literally an hour later, she's like, hey, it's that game.
Yep.
And I'm like, we've been through this, Michaela. It is not the same game.
But you know what? Jake did the same thing, and he knows they're different.
Oh no! He's such a huge. He's like
he's a huge Shovel Knight fan.
He owns a Shovel Knight hoodie.
He was playing Shovel Knight when he was here, and he was like, "Look, babe, you can get like some tips for when you play." And I was like, "My guy, I'm playing Hollow Knight."
Oh man!
And they're not even like aesthetically similar.
No. Oh no, they're very, very, very different. Yeah. Aside from that similar title, they're totally, totally different.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if, because I remember, like, when this game was drawn, I was like, oh, I'm going to be playing this game. And he was like, oh, I love that game. Like, it did. Was he thinking it was Shovel Knight at that point as well?
100%. Sorry, Jake. I outed you.
You know, on the same theme of this is the episode that did not want to happen, you had a bit of a struggle starting this game out in the first place because there was a bit of an incident with your keyboard. Is that correct? You, of course, were playing this on Xbox Game Pass for PC, which it's it's on both of them. It's on the console version and the PC version.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about that.
I think if you want to play I don't know if it's an expansion or if it's the next game. I'm calling it Advanced Hollow Knight for now. It's not available for PC Game Pass. Mm. So I actually had to download, I didn't know they have a beta for the Xbox for PC now that I had to download and buy a separate Game Pass for. So that was fun. Yeah, I spilled gin on my keyboard because I'm an adult drinking adult beverages sometimes.
But you could still use a sippy cup, apparently.
I could totally use a sippy cup. I don't even know. I think I was setting it down and it sloshed. Because I bought these cute little, like, fancy glasses that I regret. So my arrow directional key for the right is broken. So you need that key.
Apparently.
To play this game. It's, like, how you move around. So I had to, like, turn off my numlock on my numpad and use the 486 and, like, remap some keys. But then nothing is intuitive anymore. Because, you know, you don't use those keys, your muscle memory is all messed up. So totally. I spent probably 2.5 hours, maybe three, fighting like the same small area because I just kept dying. Because this game is kind of tough. It's
totally tough. It's tough.
You know, it's got that Metroidvania like multiple level thing, and like if you die, you die, and you have to start over, and you have to go back and fight your body to get your stuff back. So that was really frustrating.
Oh my god, we got to talk about that after you tell this story.
So I spent a long time doing that. If you want to watch me fighting through that, I do have clips up on my Twitch. I will save them because it was really frustrating. And it makes me look like I'm way worse at gaming than I actually am. Like, I'm not great at it. But this makes me look like I don't even know what a keyboard does. It's bad. So, luckily, Jake was coming to visit. And he brought me because I couldn't get the Steam controller to work with it.
Okay.
Which was annoying for me because I love that controller so much. But Jake brought me a PS4 controller and a Bluetooth adapter. And I played with that. And I played... And I got so much farther, and the game became so much easier, and it made so much more sense to be able to do things. Because, like, in my head, like, the area that you have to cover when I first started playing with just the keyboard, I thought, like, I had gotten really far. And I realized I'd explored maybe a tenth of that first map.
Yeah. Which is not very, like, that's not a lot.
It's not a lot. This map is huge. Mm-hmm. And I think now that I've explored most of the first area, I think, now with my controller. There's, like, a couple bosses that I haven't beat yet.
Yeah.
But I also got turned around with the map, so. I'm directionally challenged. which also makes this difficult because you have to go back into the same areas over and over again.
You
and
do.
Remember things as, are.
As you get more abilities and powers, and this thing that I couldn't jump to before is now accessible, and I want to go back and see what was there.
Yeah.
Very, like, you know, they call it Metroidvania for a reason.
Yeah, I was just like, dang, I was struggling so hard. So, yeah, so the first, like, 2.5-3 hours of this game, I mostly just spent swearing at it. All of the enemies that you have their own expletive-centric swear word names that I've given them that are not for children. except for the slow zomb dudes. You know, those little, like, they have these little beetles. They look like gray, sad ladybugs with no color. And they kind of, like, run at you like old-school zombies. And so I call them slow zomb dudes.
Yeah. I feel like they didn't feel that slow, though, once they actually are running at you.
No, they go pretty fast. But, like, I don't know. They were slower. They're the slowest, I think, of everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I feel like even, you know, in this game, I feel like even with a fully working keyboard, I can't imagine a keyboard being nearly as comfortable as a controller for playing this title.
It would definitely be difficult. I'm more comfortable with a keyboard and mouse than I am a controller 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. But that's usually when everything, all my keys are working and I'm down like 4 keys right now. So, yeah, I don't really know how to fix that yet.
I think you have to buy a new keyboard.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Sad.
Or just control everything with your controller.
Or just do everything with the controller now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could do that.
I mean, the PS4 anyway, they got that cool mode where it's like you can tilt the controller to select different letters. And, you know, it doesn't seem super efficient, but...
I mean, for typing, no. But, like, for gaming and stuff, probably could just use this controller. It has a mouse function, too. That mouse, that pad in the middle lets you control the mouse.
It works as a trackpad on the...
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really nice.
That is neat. I didn't realize that. It has a use now because I feel like there's, like, 2 PS4 games that have used it properly, and the rest of it is like just press this giant ass button and it brings up the map, like it literally has no purpose aside from like a couple of titles. And I feel like it's a good idea and it's interesting to have there, and then it's just been like very, very terribly implemented for the most part.
No, it's really nice if you're like on your bed and you are watching, because I live in a small studio, so if I'm on my bed and I'm watching TV on my monitor, I can use the controller to change what I'm watching.
That does sound small.
Yeah, it's very small.
Yeah.
As one person observed, hey, your bed is in your kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're always close to the snacks.
Always close to the snacks.
You know, it's like
convenient, but maybe not great.
Yeah, this game, it's a really interesting game. And the first thing that you said that really kind of took off with me is that, so it's pretty tough, and it's pretty tough right away, and especially it doesn't like give you a lot of like tell you a lot of what's happening.
No.
And you know, it's got some cool mechanics, like you have a decent chunk of health, I feel like, right at the start, but and it's not like, oh, this is a bigger guy, so when he hits you he takes more health. No, it's like every hit that you are hit takes a health point away. And but as you're killing enemies, you kind of you gain like spirit, so you have like a spirit meter basically, and that can be used for different moves and stuff like down the line as you unlock them. But it can also be used to essentially heal yourself if the meter is full enough, so you can heal, you know, basically like I think when the meter's full you can heal like 3 points or something, and I think you start with 5.
You start with 5. I think it can actually take you to like I think it's 4.
Okay, yeah.
Because I've become very reliant on it.
Yeah, yeah. And at first you say, I definitely used it a lot as well. And at first you don't have anything. Like you have no money, and you know, you soon learn that like, oh, there's a couple of shops where you can buy things, and there's a cartographer who sells you a map of the area that you're in, which is super useful because otherwise you have no idea where the hell you are. That said, if you want to know where you are on that map, you have to find his wife, who will sell you a compass which shows your location on the map. Both of which I feel were very, very, very important, and I was completely lost without them. Were you in the same boat there?
Oh yeah, no. When I first opened the map and I was like, where am I on this map? How is this even useful? Really mad. And then I went up to I died at one point, and I went into the shop and I was like, oh, I can purchase where I am on the map?
Yes, I think that's when I found it too, was after I had died. But yeah, before I had an opportunity to really buy anything, I am, you know, exploring and traversing and all of that good stuff. And I die. You know, there's a little stupid boss and it kills me. And I feel like this game is, like, I played it for a number of hours and it got to the point where I'd be like, I'm going to play some Hollow Knight. And then the first time I died, I would be like, okay, that's enough Hollow Knight for now. Like, I got, because it's very challenging, but I also feel like it's so fair in that, like, every enemy has patterns and everything like that. And it's like, I'm following those patterns and figuring out when is the right time to attack and all of that good stuff. And then now I go outside of that pattern and I get hit and I die. And so I'm so mad, but it's all my fault. Like, had I just continued on the path and followed the patterns that the enemy is very clearly demonstrating that I've already learned, I would be fine. But, you know, something, you know, like, oh, I can do this a little bit faster, or maybe this is a better way to do it. And it never is. And you die. And the first time this happened, so you die, your kind of spirit comes out of you. You lose all of your money and like all of it. And at this point, at this point, I hadn't bought a single thing. And I'm like, oh, I need to get back up to the town so I can buy some stuff because I got lots of money and I want a map and all that, and all this other sort of stuff. And you die and your kind of spirit meter also sort of breaks. And so it can only fill up about 2/3 of what it could before. And then I was so like, oh my God, this is horrible. I have to start all of this again. And like when you are traversing around the environment, sometimes there'll be essentially veins of the currency in the area, which, what was the currency called again? Like Geo. It was called Geo.
Yeah.
And so
they look like little seashells almost.
Totally.
Or like
coral
bits. They're cute.
Yeah, yeah. And they like come out of rocks and stuff. But then if you go like once you, they come out of enemies too, but once you like find these veins of them, once you destroy it, it's gone. And so at this point I am like, how am I ever gonna afford anything? Because I'm convinced that, you know, those rocks are gone. Like, how am I going to get anything? And then I didn't realize at that point that if you go back to the location where you died, your spirit will be there. You hit it a couple of times and then you get all that stuff back.
It will attack you though.
It will attack you. Yeah. I feel like it only,
just fair warning.
It will attack you. I feel like it only took, like, it only takes like 2 strikes to take down, which can sometimes be very easy. It can also be very hard if it happened in an area where there's a boss and that boss is also trying to take you down.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was my, like, and in that moment I was like, oh my God, like, how am I ever going to progress past this? And then I was so relieved once I got that money back. But I was just, apparently it's very Dark Souls-esque in that also happens in Dark Souls, which I've always avoided because it's supposed to be very, very, very difficult.
It's supposed to be frustrating and no one tells you to play Dark Souls if they like you.
Yeah.
If someone's like, hey man, you should play
Dark
Souls,
me?
It's super fun.
I feel like so many people have been like, oh, I can't believe you haven't played Dark Souls. You should play Dark Souls. Those people hate me is what I'm learning.
Secretly, they don't like you. Have I ever told you to play Dark Souls?
You have not. Have you ever played Dark Souls?
No. I also value our friendship.
All right. But it's also supposed to be such a, I don't know, it's such a celebrated series. But
it is. I would like to play it, but also I like being not angry.
I like progressing in video games.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I would in that game.
No.
I mean, that was kind of how it started out for me. Once you managed to be able to control the game, what were things kind of like for you as you started discovering them?
But first it was just like, why do all these flying bugs hate me so much? They're like these firefly looking guys who actually spit fire at you. And then there are bigger ones of those, but they don't spit fire. They spit tiny fire bugs. That you have to kill, which are actually very lucrative if you're trying to like grind up some money or health. So once I figured that out with my controller, I was like, oh, awesome. I can go places and do things. And I got like, I'd purchased a map and I purchased my token. So I could see myself on the map before I got the controller. And then I bought a quill so I could expand on my map, which was amazing. And then I found like these Shai Hulud guys. They're like giant worms that just kind of like piston up and down or side to side. Those were probably my favorite element in the game. Mm-hmm. They're hilarious. They're easy to like avoid. You cannot fight them. But I really enjoyed like jumping around them and stuff. And sometimes I would get cocky and then I'd like jump into them and die. And there was a lot of that money was around those too, which was really cool.
Yeah, there was definitely.
So I found that. There are those adorable little caterpillars.
yeah.
that you have to rescue.
Yeah.
And I like rescued one or two and I was like, oh, I'm going to go see the grandpa caterpillar. And then I realized that like every single one of those little, they're like little cocoony hole things.
Yeah.
That all of them are all the caterpillars you're supposed to save.
Yes, yeah.
And I was sitting there like, I think that was before I had my controller and I was looking at it like, how big is this game? Because I thought maybe there'd be three of these and there's like 15.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's crazy.
Well, and it's interesting because I feel like stuff like that, like I feel like there are a number of different kind of side things that you can do in the game, mm-hmm. but they're all things that you just have to discover. Like they're not things that are told to you. And even like when the first I'm seeing these caterpillars, I'm like, what the hell are these things? And I, you know, they're in like jars basically.
And
I try to like, you know, I break open the jar and think he's going to try to like fight me, but then he just disappears. And I'm like, aww. Oh, what was that? That's weird. And then you end up finding the room where they all live or whatnot. And they kind of throw money at you after you find them. And I'm like, okay, this is a thing. This is like another thing I'm supposed to do. But all of those side elements as well, you could totally ignore them, but also they're very like, you have to discover them and learn about them on your own. I feel like none of that stuff is told to you at all.
Like I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing down there at all. To be honest, like I'm down there and I'm like, I'm running around and I'm finding some stuff. Like I found like a train car that you have to try and activate somehow. But like, I don't know how or what I need. If that's
did you unlock any of the fast travel stuff then? Or
I did.
Okay.
So I found a stag beetle rider.
Which those
man.
Things are super cool.
He's pretty cool. So I had like a quick way of getting to the far side of where I had explored. And that was kind of like the left limit that I had found, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
But it made finding everything really easy. It also made escaping back up to the surface to spend my money really easy.
Totally.
Nice.
Yeah. Because once you spend it, it's like safe, right? Like I don't have to worry about disappearing. Yeah.
Yeah. All your tokens and stuff are there. Because I lost a lot of money in this game.
Yeah. Well, and because if you die again before you make it and reclaim your spirit, then the stuff is gone forever.
It's gone.
So you do have a chance to get it back, but you also have a chance that it will never come back.
Yeah. I think I lost like 250 gold at one point that way. And I was really upset.
Yeah.
Because I died in a dumb way. And then accidentally went the wrong way. It was before I had my quilt. Went the wrong way and like ran into a big bad. Because there's like a giant, I call him like a Goliath beetle. He doesn't look like a Goliath beetle, but he's like a big beetle guy with a big
chunk
of stalagmite. And he just kind of pounded me to the ground. I found a way around him so I don't have to fight him.
Yeah.
I also found another big guy who was bigger than that guy, who would like had like a hammery type thing, and he had a cool move. He would like jump around a little bit and then he would slam his weapon on the ground and it would have like a force wave come at you, almost like a thunder shock or something, like thunder wave.
Yeah.
And I hadn't beaten him yet. That was another limit that I had kind of reached. So those were cool guys that I found. Mm-hmm. I found a cool like hot spring you could go to heal up.
Yep.
But I could never get back to it.
And then, of course, anytime, like when you, the game seems to save, like when you quit it and stuff. But if you, there are the benches around as well. So there's benches, which will heal you. And that's kind of when you take a moment to draw in your map and fill in any areas that are not on the map that you've discovered yet. And also it, that kind of acts as a save point as well. So it will auto save in the moments that you're on the bench as well. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's so interesting. I just found it kind of fascinating just to kind of wander around the world because it all is so, like I said, presentation wise, it's just spectacular from like the score to just how varied the enemies in the different areas look, and even like things like the backgrounds themselves. Like I got through a few of the different areas in the game itself, and they're all just so vastly different from each other. Yeah. And I thought that was so neat. Did you come across, enemy wise, did you come across, there was a character named Hornet who is like this like pink character? Did you see her at all?
No.
Oh, she's like kind of the first, because like, there's like, I feel like there's like mini bosses and then which are things like that you just see in the environment, like the stag beetle things and all that, those sort of things, or not the stag beetle, which you travel on, but
the one with the one horn who would like run at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's like a jumpy sad boy.
Yep. I think that's the official name.
Yeah. Jumpy sad boy. And then there's like the little gray guys and the little white guys that are super cute, and then like the sad scully fly guys. Mm-hmm. That's so descriptive.
Yeah. And then, yeah, there's this character, and you kind of start to see her, like, you'll go on certain screens, and she'll kind of be there just leaving in that moment or running away. And it's a character, she's got, like, kind of a sewing needle or something like that. I swear, like, and then finally, like, in a certain area, you have to face her, and you don't kill her, so I think that you have to, I think that you'll probably meet up with her several times along the playthrough, but I had to fight her once, and I swear I was, like, 15 to 20 tries in, dying every time. Several, like, I had to come back to the game several times, because several times I'm like, okay, screw this, I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, the biggest break that I had in the game, so, like, a few days between attempts, when I come back to it, I beat it on the first try with no problem. And I feel like games always work like that, in that, like, I'm stuck on this one part for a week, and as soon as you just leave it and go away from it for a time, then you're like, and then you're like, that was so easy. Like, how, why am I such an idiot? And it took me so long before, and I didn't even make it. I don't know. I've had one of those.
That's me with any game. I've given into that. It's become part of my despair with video games. Mm-hmm. I don't get that anymore. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, it's just like this is tough. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back to it later. And I feel like it's always like first or second try you beat it. And the only time it really bit me in the ass was playing Metal Gear Solid 3. When that came out, which there's a character that you face, it's a boss. He's named The End. And he's a very, very old man, and he is like a sniper. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. He's like a sniper, and I couldn't beat it. He's just very, very, very hard. I'm going to take a break. I was in high school at the time, so I didn't have much time to play or anything either. I take a break for like a week and a half, and when I come back to the game, he has literally died of old age. And he dies of old age. You don't have to fight him. You're like, your buddies like call you on the radio, and you're like, you're such a coward. Like, you couldn't even take this old man. You had to like let him pass away. Like,
oh my God.
It was such a, and it was just like a very hilarious, like, you moment for Hideo Kojima there. But that's one of my favorite Metal Gear memories now. So maybe it wasn't such a bad thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I never saw her. I don't know if I just like got stuck somewhere, because there was a couple parts I couldn't get through, either because I couldn't beat the boss or like, did you find that pillbug guy? He was like, so, you know, there's the part that's like a big, tall tunnel thing, and there's all those different levels, and there's those sad Scully boys flying around, not attacking you.
Yeah.
If you jump around those, on the left-hand side, there was, like, a garden-y area, it looked like, and I tried to go into it, and then there was this guy, he looked kind of like a mole, kind of like a pill bug, and he would spit fire at you, but if you got close to him to hit him in the face like you want to, he, like, rolled up. Oh,
those guys.
My pill bug boy. I tried to get past him, and I couldn't get past him. I didn't get any level ups. I didn't get any upgrades.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was struggling a little bit because I had lost a lot of, like, you were talking about the geocaches.
Yeah.
Geocaches. Oh, my God. I lost a bunch of those because I kept dying and couldn't get to my body in time.
Yeah.
So I was really struggling for cash. I had purchased, like, a mask fragment, because you can rescue this little buggy boy downstairs in the very bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And so I rescued him, and I purchased a mask fragment. And then, like, the next one was very expensive, and I was like, guys.
I don't have that much money. Come on.
I don't want to start over from scratch, but also, I'm boned. Please help me. So, I kind of, like, didn't get any of those things. I didn't get the dash option.
Okay.
Because I went through, I spent a lot of time on this game to get very, not very far.
Okay. It is very challenging. It's
super challenging. And I'm not a Metroidvania game person. Yeah. I kind of blindly volunteered.
Yeah. It's been a long time for me too. Like, aside from things like Symphony of the Night, which I last played back on PlayStation, but just recently got it, was an Xbox Games with Gold. So I would be excited to jump back into it. But I remember not finishing that when I was younger and playing it. But I've not played a lot of these titles, and I did really enjoy my time with it though. Like, I think it's such a, it feels like such a unique game, and from the design to the music to the way the map's laid out is super interesting. And it was, it's like a, it's paced in a way where it's like, just when you're about to be like, okay, like, I'm kind of coming down from this. Like, it's, you know, I don't feel like I'm making much progress. And it's like, oh, here's a thing. And then you're like, okay, I can play for another couple hours right now. Like, it just kind of feeds you at just the right pace where you're like, okay, I'm going to keep going until you have those super frustrating moments and you decide to turn it off for a couple of days.
Yeah. I wish I still had a little more direction than I have.
Yeah. It feels like it's like, because it doesn't really direct you for the most part. It's basically like, go where you haven't been yet and see if you can progress or see if you haven't unlocked that thing yet or whatever.
Yeah.
So it definitely is not, it doesn't hold your hand. Even like a lot of the characters that you meet, like you do meet some friendly characters along the way, and mostly they just exist to just tell you like weird things that don't really make sense.
The spider temple, did you get anywhere with that?
Spider temple. I don't think so.
There's like, if you go there, there's this big temple-y thing. And if you go in, the only thing that's there is there's a dude there with a mask that looks like one of the masks that's up on the temple. And he's like, oh, how interesting it is down here. And then that's pretty much all he does. But
yeah, I did not get any further in that interaction. There are a number of other things you unlock, though. Like in the second area, you meet a guy, or not a guy, he's like a spirit or something, but he gives you this basically like beast book. And as you destroy X amount of each enemy, you kind of learn more about them. So they kind of have funny little descriptions.
So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, just more, you know, a little bit more official, I think. Not better, you know, Pilly Boy and Sad Pill Boy.
Sad Fly Boy. Yeah. Sad Scully
like,
Boy.
Those are very descriptive. Everyone's sad. Everyone's sad in this game, I feel like.
Yeah, it's very dark. It's very gray down there. Oh, there was one section I tried to go into and I hadn't bought the... There's a lamp you can get that will help combat deep darkness. And I saw it and I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, I can see. And then, like, directly after that, found this cave where when I went into it, it did not light up because your mask kind of glows everything. And then I promptly died.
Was the lamp a purchasable item? I feel like it's a purchasable item,
I'm pretty sure.
There was a number of... I'm not sure if it was that same cave area or another one that I went in, but I just kind of went as far along as I could and then didn't progress anymore because I was like, I can't see anything and this is really scary and I don't want to die here and have to come back here to get my money.
Yeah, I just decided to go for it, which was a poor choice.
A bad idea.
You need a lamp of some sort.
And then there's points where it's so... Like, there's a time, I think it's shortly after you unlock the dash, but there's points where these bosses, like, you get to these mini-bosses or whatever, and they're so, like, you just don't know what's coming ahead of you, and then you're like, oh my god, I'm so screwed, like, right away. Did you encounter, there was this, I think you start off and you see one of them, but he's kind of like an armadillo-y type guy, and he kind of, like, throws little mini-armadillo guys at you, but also fire. Facing one of them was pretty tough. You know, I don't know if I died, but it was like, I came pretty close. But then there's a spot, I think it's in the second section that you go to in the game, and you're walking along, it's like, okay, I can either go back or drop down. Those are the only two options I have. So you drop down, and you drop down literally in the center of two of them that are on either, like, there's one on either side of you, and they just murder you in, like, 4 seconds. No. And then, because they're both shooting fire, they're both shooting little smaller enemies. I think the way you're supposed to beat them is that you got, like, the charge move, right? Like, the one that uses your spirit? Okay.
I got nothing.
So there's a move that it's like one of the first moves you unlock. Basically, when you hit B instead of holding it or whatever the equivalent button is on PlayStation, probably circle, instead of holding it, like the heal button, if you just press it, he does like a big sword slash thing. This is what I think you were supposed to do to these enemies, and that's how I killed it when it was just a single one. And it takes each one takes a number of hits, and so you're killing the little ones that it's throwing at you to gain the spirit that you need in order to use the slash to kill the big ones. And so it's throwing the little ones at you. You're supposed to be killing them, and I just like I died so quickly, and then went back and collected my spirit and or my soul or whatever, and then didn't I was like, I'm going somewhere else. Like I'm not trying that again because you know sometimes a bench, you know, the last bench you were potentially at can be quite far away. Yeah. And I was definitely not in a spot where I was like, I don't want to die here and then have to spend 15 minutes walking back again and again and again and again. So at that point, you know, it was like, this will become easier as I unlock more stuff. So I'm just going to move on for now and go and find something else. And I think I made it into probably 5 or 6 of the different areas of the game. Yeah, I played quite a bit, and I feel like aside from a certain few areas where I got stuck, like fighting that Hornet boss and everything like that, I feel like I had pretty good progression. And like I said, I feel like it feeds it to you just regularly enough that you're like, just as you're about to like wrap up this session, it's like, oh, that's interesting. Let's see what's down this hallway or whatever.
Yeah, and then I would die. and then I lose all my stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to play right now.
I did have a lot of those moments as well. This has been a longer, it's been a longer lead time for this episode. Like, I feel like usually we play over, here's the game, it's been drawn. The guest and I play over a week and a half. It's been several weeks for this one, so I've gotten more chances to go back to it, which is almost good because I feel like this game kind of really needed it, because you do get frustrating. You do stop playing at times because of the frustration, but something kept making me want to come back to it.
It's
gorgeous.
It's pretty, and I want to know what's behind, like, the Pillbug Boy.
Yeah, the lore of it is very interesting, and it like doesn't feed you anything, doesn't really explain anything, but I feel like those explanations must be lying in there somewhere.
I wish it had, because I've done this for games before when we did it for Geekscape and we wanted to talk about a game. I wish it had like a story mode. Like, I just want to...
Like a pacifist mode type thing?
Like, almost like, not like pacifist mode, but like, hey, this game is hard. Can we have it for children, please?
Sure. Yeah, there is no difficulty. There's no difficulty selection.
There's just no the difficulty one difficulty. It's the one. And like, I did this for, I think when I was playing God of War the first time, I played it through on story mode because we were all going to get together and talk about it. And I'm bad comparatively. And I wanted to do the story. And I love that. Oh, that's another game I absolutely adore. God of War. How can I forget God of War?
You did forget God of War.
It's because I'm selling my PS4.
Ah, you're a traitor.
What would your son think? I'm just not going to need... My son is dead. Oh, wait.
What?
No, I thought you were talking about my cat, not my son in the game.
Okay. Oh, man.
Because my cat
is that the
died.
End of, is that the end of God of... Is this Batman Arkham Knight over again? Because that didn't go well on the Geekscape Games podcast.
No. No. There's different twists.
Okay.
It's totally worth playing if you haven't played it.
I've played like 80% of it, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Yeah. Finish it because it's really good. It's worth the extra, like, whatever time it takes. I want to go back and replay it. No, I haven't played my PS4 since I played... Or started to play... What's the name of that game? The one
Detroit
where...
Detroit Become Human?
No, fuck that game.
What you mean is, fuck that game's great. Game of the year, fuck 2018.
You mean God of War. No, the one where there's a girl with the red hair and like animals
Horizon Zero Dawn.
That one. That's the last game I played on there. And I didn't finish it. I got past like the first beginning area. Yeah, and then
that game is insanely cool too, though.
It's really good. It's just very intense and I haven't played since. So...
Yeah.
I haven't been playing it, and then Jake has one, so I don't really need one, because I'm not going to play between now and whenever I get to move, so.
Sell it while it's worth something.
Sell it while, because PS5's coming out.
Right? Gotta start saving up for that.
Exactly.
You need one of each.
One of each.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
There's exclusives and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You got the next Halo on one side, you've got... God of War 2 or something the other one.
I need more God of War. Like, they did so good with those stories. Yeah,
they did. It was wonderful. Goodness. And so different from this is turning into a God of War podcast, which is fine.
I know.
It was so different than the earlier games and so much more like mature, but in like a not childish way, like the original
story
ones were.
Was so much better. Like,
yeah.
Just
100%.
So much better. Like, but you still got that I want to beat the living everything out of something right now, please.
Totally.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it was totally unreal.
So good. So, Hollow Knight did remind me of one other game.
Okay.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of that until now, but yeah, definitely.
Very much like the same kind of aesthetic, the same kind of like dark background, but your protagonist is like that little glowy, cute thing.
Little glowy boy?
Little glowy boy. Not the same kind of like spoopy glowy boy with the dark eyes and everything looks kind of skeleton-y, but very similar. My only complaint with the aesthetic of this game is why do so many of the rocks look like penises?
I did not notice a single penis rock.
Oh, I will fund you screenshots if you want them. Because I was, like, going around. I was like, wow, look, there's a penis rock. Wow, look, there's another penis rock.
Like, yeah.
These are a lot of penises in this game. But maybe that's just me. I also very much enjoyed that, even though this is a 2D game, you can break things.
Yes, I'm a lot of things.
Very much into that. So, like, I went around, like, breaking things. My only complaint was, like, I thought at one point, like, there are these little, like, spear-looking guys, and I thought, oh, I'll hit one of those, and it'll puncture someone. Mm. They do not interact with enemies.
No, it's, like, just for cosmetic. It's just cosmetic, basically.
It's just for fun. So, yeah. But I enjoyed that, and I did find some rocks that you could hit and get spirit health from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those which is very useful.
Scattered around.
And they will recharge, so, like, you can go back to them after a little while.
It was interesting, because I didn't feel like they were, like, the first time I saw it, like, and I'm hitting it, I'm like, oh, this is what it does. I was thinking, oh, there must be something big in the next room or something like that. But I feel like they just kind of seemed almost randomly placed. Like, I didn't notice anything particularly big or hard shortly after like, destroying one of those things.
Not really. Yeah. But it was nice to have it there, but there wasn't, like, I think the only way to mark them would be is if you bought markers and made, like, a specific marker that you used for that, because you
could
do that.
That's true, yeah, because you have some control. Once you buy the markers, you can kind of place them wherever you want on the map, so you could be like, oh, I'm going into this hard thing that's over here, this spirit giver thing is close to me, I'm going to go and destroy it so I can be fully charged up when I jump into this fight.
Yeah. You could buy things like specific benchmarkers. They had bench ones that you could just, I think, turn on and some other things.
Or there was ones for, like, particularly tough enemies. You could mark their locations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like shopkeepers and stuff that you find. Because they're up above in the town, Dirtmouth, but there also are some down below as well, and so, but they don't generally appear on the map, so you would have to mark them off to be able to easily get back to them.
I don't know, I'll probably go back and play a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's frustrating for me, so I might watch someone else play, or that's like cheat a little bit and, like, get some, hey, maybe go this ways.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm definitely at the point where I'm like, I know there's, like, two guys I gotta fight now, but I don't know that I can win. And I don't remember where they are, because it was prequel era.
It's interesting. Like, I feel like I don't know. I really enjoyed my time with it, but I don't know how much more I'll go back to it, because I don't know. I feel like it's not as, like, the games I gravitate towards are very story heavy. Mm-hmm. And this is like, here's bits and pieces of lore and of story. And it's super intriguing and interesting what's there. I just like more of it, I feel like.
I think that's why I want to play. I feel like I should be able to find more of it that way.
But
it's probably not going to happen, I guess.
Exactly. And the gameplay is super tight and super solid. And again, like, I feel like whenever you do die, or for me anyways, whenever I die, I feel like it's my fault. I made a mistake. I mean, which I guess is true of most games, but I don't know, it feels like a bigger deal here, because everything is so tight and it's like, why did I do that? Why didn't I just wait another second or whatever? So it got pretty frustrating pretty quickly, difficulty wise. That said, when I finally, you know, that Hornet encounter that I keep bringing up, that time I finally did beat her, I can't remember a super like, it felt so satisfying. I can't remember another time that recently where I've struggled so much to beat a certain element of a game and had that super satisfying feeling afterwards. So it's challenging, but it's also satisfying. If you like hard games, I think you'll love this game. And if not, then I would still say, like, is there anything else you want to say about it, or do you want to move on to the...
I think I would enjoy this game more on my Switch than I would on a sit-down console.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like it's something that I would enjoy playing on a trip, like on the plane or on the ferry, in a car, when I have time to kill and I want to put time into it. But for me, I'm like you. I want my story-rich games where I have a little more idea of what's going on when I'm sitting at home. Otherwise, like, I don't want to just come home and play a game that makes me angry.
this is supposed to be relaxing.
This is supposed to, well, like, I don't, it doesn't have to be relaxing. Like, I want to, like, challenge me, but also, like, I don't want to, like, I think when I was streaming this the first time, I think you would be hard pressed to find a word that wasn't a swear word.
Really?
It was bad.
And you're not one to swear either.
Oh, so. Yeah. No, I never swear. No.
I know. Not really.
More than usual. My swearing has gone down since I became a preschool teacher.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm glad it hasn't gone up.
Because, I mean, In my head it has, but I mean, a kid can't, you can't look at a kid when they do something and be like, dude, what the fuck? Even though that's your instinct. So I've gotten better about not swearing as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was hard. That was really hard for me to like put anything together. It was just mostly a string of F-bombs.
Yeah, I could feel that. I had a few of those myself. So it's, I don't know. It's a challenging game.
It's fun though.
It was fun. Okay.
I would give it 3.5 out of 5.
What we do, actually, which we'll move on to right now, is so for yourself, it's I mean, because some of it is like, some of it we play through the whole game. Sometimes it's like just impressions on the first 10 hours or whatever. For yourself, would you say that Hollow Knight is a must play? Is Hollow Knight a give it a shot, or is Hollow Knight a skip?
I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
If you're into Metroidvania games, definitely play it.
Yeah.
If you are an RPG fan or a filthy casual like me, give it a shot and see what you feel. Because it's beautiful and the music's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll get good and be a speedrunner one day.
I would say basically the same. It's a give it a shot for me. I really enjoyed the time that I had with it. I don't know how much more I will put into it for the reasons that I've already stated, but it's like, it is insanely beautiful. It's got a great score, great sound. It's super tight control wise and everything in it is interesting. I just don't know that it's really like that. I'm enjoying it, but difficulty wise, I don't know if it's really for me there, but yeah, that's kind of how I feel. But I feel like you should try it. And because it's on Game Pass, you don't have to pay any money to do so. So that's part of what's so sick about Game Pass.
I think that's the best part of Game Pass. I'm starting to try and get into it a little bit more.
I was going to ask you, because you are someone who's not really been into Game Pass and is not an Xbox player. You're just on the PC side of things. Have you browsed around the Game Pass at all otherwise? And is there other stuff that's intriguing to you?
I had before, because I play like Sea of Thieves
everyone
on it, and I super enjoy that game.
Yeah.
I've glanced through it, but I haven't put time aside to like sit down and play. But also, my life has been very tumultuous the last 6 months.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm just now like, I didn't have a computer set up a month ago. So
right. You're just kind of getting back into
Just getting back into the swing of things. And, I'm employed now, which is great, but also
it's like, bad for game time.
My game time, bro. Yeah. Like, so it's hard. It's hard too, because like I tried to do the thing where I was like, "Oh, I'll come home and play some on lunch breaks." And I did that, I think, one time for this game. And like, realistically, by the time I walk in the from the time I can walk in the door and then eating and then getting to play, I only get like 30 minutes of game time.
Sure,
so that's not enough to do anything.
I would be interested to see. What I mean, there's even on the PC side of things, there's like 100+ games already,
In
the months it's been launched. And it's some of the selection is the same, some of it is very different. So it'd be interesting to see kind of what else draws you to it while you are into the Game Pass.
I'm looking at playing the Gears of War, I guess.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because our friends are all really hyped about it, and so I have never paid attention to that franchise. So,
which I feel like is fine, as far as I've read, and I've not jumped into Gears 5 yet, but as far as I've read, it does a pretty good job of introing to new players. So it gives you the backstory that you need, and it introduces the characters in a way that's easy enough to understand.
Yeah.
So I think that even if 5 is the first one that you jumped into, I don't know that would really be a problem from what I've heard so far.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I've looked at lately. I've been, I got back into Minecraft. Blast from the past.
Yeah.
So much fun.
So much fun.
We're trying to build a sky fortress, and I was trying to remember how to play, because I haven't played that game in like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And then I really want to play some more Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's so much fun.
Sea of Thieves is a game I kind of fall in and out of, but every time I do get an opportunity to play it again, I'm just like, why did I ever stop playing this? This is so fun. Some of my best gaming memories, I think, I've had on Sea of Thieves.
Yeah,
so,
it's fun. I like, but the thing for me is, like, I don't want to get on and play with randos. I want to get on and play with friends. And
it's
everyone's
only
too busy.
Yeah, I think that's it. Is like, we kind of all kind of fall into periods of, it's like, let's play tonight, and then you play for like 2 or 3 days, and then nobody talks about it for 6 months, and then you jump back into it again. But yeah, it's I've not really played with, aside from a few instances where, you know, it's multiple groups teaming up to take on something bigger or whatever. I've only really played it with people I know in real life as well. So
that's the first game we played together.
It is. As friends. Which is crazy.
It's so sad.
Yeah. Cool. Well, why don't I go ahead and draw the game for the next episode and then we can wrap things up.
Okay.
So actually, what I'm going to do instead this time, and it's a first and it won't be the last probably, but instead of randomly drawing the game, I am just going to choose a game. And yeah, we're at the beginning of September right now. The Blair Witch game has just come out, which I've been very, very excited for. And I was kind of just trying to figure out, like, do I wait, you know, do I take a break from recording the podcast because I've got a few in the books already and so I can play this game, or do I pretend that I'm drawing it because it's going to release a few months from now and you won't really have any idea anyway. But then I didn't want to lie, so I'm just choosing. Yeah. So Blair Witch is the next game that we are going to play because I'm excited for it. I'm going to be playing it anyways, and then why not just do an episode about it?
And I will not have to play. Thank you.
No, Courtney's not playing it, so
best,
you know, so
present
we're good there.
Ever.
And I feel like it'll probably happen. Whenever a big game releases on Game Pass, so it'll probably only be for new games that I'm really excited for. The next one will probably be The Outer Worlds, which is set to drop at the end of October, which will already have passed by the time this episode releases. But long story short, we will typically just do our randomly drawn, randomly assigned episodes. But once in a while, I'm going to choose a game. And the first one is the Blair Witch game that has just dropped from Bloober Team and Lionsgate Games. So I've got a great guest for that one that you've heard several times. It's John. he wasn't scared enough for my liking in the last episode, and he committed that if another scary game came up, he would do it. So it's come up. Sorry, John. But yeah, you were talking about earlier about a Twitch channel that you stream on. Why don't you plug your stuff, and then we will wrap things up.
So actually, remember there was a time when I knew what all my handles were?
No, I don't remember that time.
There was a time. Thanks, though. There was a time when I knew what all my handles were, and then I changed them to make them all the same, and now I can't remember what I changed them to. So
okay. If
you want to hear me freak out about politics or fish, or sometimes I just tweet about cats, you can follow me on Twitter at GeekyGirlAK, which is also where you can find me on Twitch, where I sporadically will stream stuff. I made a point to stream my Hollow Knight stuff because I thought I would be giving some insightful notes for me to look back on, and instead I really just swore a lot. So there you go. That's what I've got. If you do go to my Twitch page, I do have a button where you can donate to the Arthritis National Research Foundation, which is a wonderful charity where they give all of the money to researching people, new treatments, and hopefully finding a cure for people who have RA. So it's a big one. It's a good one.
That sounds like a big one.
Yeah. So if you want to go do that, you can go do that through my Twitch page.
Check her out on Twitch. She's on there sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and this has been another episode of the Xbox Game Passengers podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, Courtney. It was really nice talking to you about video games again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anytime. Hopefully we'll have you back at some point if you want. If you don't want, that's okay too.
I know you don't really pick hosts for stuff ahead of time. But really, if Fable comes up on your draw, I would love to play.
You just claimed it on the show, so I think that
it's mine.
Yeah,
fight me, Mike. I got it.
But yeah, if you have enjoyed what you've heard and you're new to the show, there's a bunch of episodes already in the feed, so feel free to jump back and listen to any of those. Hopefully they're all good. And if not, we come back every 2 weeks, every other Wednesday, to chat about one random game on the Xbox Game Pass service with a guest, a different guest each time. Often they kind of cycle through. So if you like somebody, if you like Courtney, you'll probably hear her again sometime in the near future. And we are available at XGP Podcast on Twitter. We share all our new episodes there. We share some other stuff. You'll also find me on geekscape.net. There's articles, there's reviews, a bunch of stuff that I put up there as well. But if you do like the show, anything that you can do to get us out there a little bit more, whether that's a 5-star on iTunes or a written review on Apple Podcasts, or the best thing, the thing I would love the most, share the show with one single friend or two friends or however many you like. That would be the biggest thing, because if more people heard the show, I think that'd be really cool. But for now, this is it. We've talked Hollow Knight. I've had a blast with the game, and also a really frustrating time. So, you know, it's been one of those. It's got it ebbs and flows between like, this is so cool, to I hate this shit. Like, you know, that's the best way to describe it, I think. But yeah. Thank you again, Courtney.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And we'll be back in just 2 weeks to talk about Blair Witch. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.